Welcome to Get Over It, intuitive transformational radio for exceptional 21st century living. We have one of my favorite authors back again. We have Paul Selig, and he's going to talk about his latest book. Book number four, folks, is The Book of Truth, the Mastery Trilogy, Book Two, a channel text. Now, Paul is an excellent channeler. We're going to get to that in a moment, but I want you to get some pen and paper, sit back, relax, take some notes, and then go buy the book, okay? You will be well rewarded for the investment you make in yourself. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you break through the blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release your BS that is holding you back. The question is, are you really ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners, intuitive since birth. I'm a third generation intuitive, with over three decades of experience helping people break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I am the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to make your life better and to live to the fullest. Now, my clients say that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to live this spiritual journey that we're on. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, possessed, or depressed, I can help you. Find out more about me and the services I offer at my website, and that is MoniqueChapman.com. I do invite you to follow me on Facebook, and Twitter, and LinkedIn, and you can always sign up for my newsletter, and that is Intuitive Living from my website. Whether we realize it or not, the vast majority of us define ourselves by the expectations established by our society, culture, family, and community. We internalize constructs based on external stereotypes of gender, age, race, social standings, or a myriad of other categorizations. As a result, we often embrace lies that do not reflect our deepest desires. Revealing simple truths behind the seeming complexity of our relationships, Paul Selig guides teach readers how friends, loved ones, and even enemies reflect our interior worlds, how we can discover freedom through forgiveness, and how to cultivate healthy relationships with others, offering a fresh view that extends beyond the usual self-help advice. The Book of Truth presents a depth of understanding that will help readers address the underlying issues and prevent them from creating the lives and relationships they truly desire. Born in New York City, Paul Selig attended New York University and received a master's degree from Yale. Recently featured on ABC's Nightline, Selig is considered one of the most foremost contributors to the field of channeled literature working today. He offers channeled workshops internationally and teaches regularly at the Esalen Institute, Kirapala Center, and the Omega Institute. Selig served on the faculty of New York University for more than 25 years and now serves on the Board of Trustees at Goddard College. He maintains a practice as an intuitive in the New York City area. For more information on public workshops and private sessions, check out his website, paulselig.com. That's PAULSELIG.com. And as I mentioned earlier, tonight we're going to focus on his book, The Book of Truth, The Mastery Trilogy, Book 2. Welcome back, Paul.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you back. Now, this is the first time in this venue that I've interviewed you. So why don't you give our audience a background about you and your gift as a channeled and empath?
Well, you know, it's nothing that I ever thought that I would be doing. When I was 25, I was about a year out of graduate school at Yale, and I hit a wall in my life, and I began to look for something more, really out of sheer necessity. Not, you know, I'd been raised something of an atheist, so I wasn't really looking for a spiritual life because I didn't know that one could have one. And I ended up having a little bit of an experience. It was an experience of energy. I really don't know how to describe it. Some people said it sounded like a spontaneous Kundalini awakening. For all I know, I was hyperventilating, but I had an experience of energy and began seeing little lights around people. So suddenly I was having a spiritual life, and I studied a form of energy healing to get a context for what I was beginning to experience, and I found that when I had my hands on people, I could hear things for them. So I began to open up as a clairaudient in my very early 30s, and as I began to trust the information that was coming through, I began to channel, and I led a group in my little apartment in New York for many, many years. I was living a life as an academic, so I was keeping a pretty low profile with my psychic work. But in 2009, the guides began dictating a series of books through me, and there are now 5 of them in print. The Book of Truth is the latest, and they're just about done dictating the final book of this trilogy. They're calling it the Book of Freedom, and so far it's happened over about, I don't know, maybe 16, 17 days total of sessions. You know, the manuscripts are born very, very quickly. The books are the unedited transcripts of verbal dictations that are recorded. Mostly, the new book has been done actually entirely in front of audiences, students, live streams, you know, in workshops and all over the country. So that's what I do. I show up for this work. I don't claim to fully understand it. I still scratch my head sometimes over how it happened. I don't like calling myself a psychic, although I seem to, you know, be a pretty good intuitive. They call me a medium for the living. I have this odd ability to step into people that are still in a body and hear them, you know, whether or not I've ever met them or not, and be pretty accurate. And that's, you know, what I do. So this is my life now. I left academia a couple of years ago. I'm doing this, and along for the journey, it seems.
Well, that's great. You know, once you find that you discover yourself, isn't it easy just to live? It's kind of like easy breezy, don't you think?
Not for me. I've never been very easy breezy. You know, that's just my personality self. I'd love some easy breezy. You know, every time I go, I mean, the work that's coming through me, I find challenging for me and my belief systems. You know, I'm a radio. I'm taking dictation. So I don't write these books. And the guides are bringing through a teaching of realization and embodiment as the true self, which they say comes at the cost of the old or the cost of the known. So I'm finding myself, you know, confronted again and again and again with things that I'd prefer not to be. But that's part of my passage. And maybe it's not for everybody else. I think some folks sign up for the easy breezy. I don't know if I did.
Oh, I think we all did on some levels, just how we interpret easy breezy. But I have to tell you, Paul, your work, is, you know, you hear channeling and you're like, oh my goodness, you're going to talk about thee, thou, and loved ones and all of this. That is not your body of work. You truly channel truth. When someone is reading your book, and I have all 4 of them, I think, or 5, I have everything that's out to date. And when one reads your book, it's an easy read. However, the information that one takes in stays with you, and you'll find yourself driving down the road or in the supermarket or wherever, and your information comes in like a flood. It's like the you get from the book what you need to know at the appropriate time. You bring it in, and it kind of assimilates in your energy field. And when you really need to understand it, that's when the lesson shows up. I find it amazing, and I read a lot of books, but I find it truly amazing with your ability to do what it is that you do.
Well, thank you. I mean, I take dictation. You know, that's what I do. I'm a radio, you know, and when I'm channeling the guides that come through me, they're the station that I'm playing, and I'm just trying to keep up with it. So, you know, I spent last night and this morning reading through, you know, the first 250 pages of the newest text, which I really haven't read. It's been going off to a transcriptionist, so this is the first time I've sat through and gone through it. And I'm fairly astonished at how coherent it all is. It is as if somebody sat down and wrote it, and that's not how they come through. The guides say that, you know, the works are energetic transmissions that are working directly with the reader. So your experience of sort of getting the download or the flood of information or the realization of what they were saying is accurate. I mean, they say, you know, it's really a conversation with the energetic field that we all hold, that they're really having, and that the small self, you know, the monkey mind needs some context. You know, otherwise it would just be an experience. So the guides say the books exist on two levels, or the words on the page, and then there's the real book, which informs the words, which is the energetic transmission. And I think that's what you're describing.
Yeah, and it works. I mean, it truly does work, and I truly appreciate the fact that it's an easy read. The information is just easy to take in.
I'm glad to hear that.
Like reading a novel, and then you get the information later. Now, you said in this latest book, The Book of Truth, that when someone follows their truth, they give permission for everyone else to do the same. Expand on that for me.
Well, you know, the guides don't talk about truth as personal truth. Like, I hear people say, well, this isn't my truth. My truth is blankety blank blank. And the guides would say, well, that's not truth. That's just your opinion. And they say what is true is always true. But when you're honoring truth and you're honoring your own soul's calling, which would be an expression of truth, would have to be, you're actually giving everybody else permission to do the same. But by doing what you're doing, more than likely you're breaking a whole lot of the rules about who you think you're supposed to be in the world, or adhering to, you know, the cultural expectations of the time. The guides say that, well, you know, what is true is always true. They say, you know, if they're to be believed, this teaching was true a million years ago, and it'll be true a million years from now. Truth is truth. It's unchanging. They say, I think they would say, you know, on this moment, in this time, in this dimensional realm that we're experiencing ourselves in, you and I are always having this conversation now, at this time, but it's not always true that we're having a conversation. Do you understand? So when you claim your truth and you align to it and you express as it, you become a vehicle for truth, you're supporting everybody else and activating at that same level. You're operating in a higher field. And when you operate in a higher field by your very presence and witness, you're lifting everything else up along with you. That's co-resonance, and that's how all of this supposedly works.
Okay. Well, folks, we're speaking with Paul Selig, the author of The Book of Truth, The Mastery of Children's Dream, Book 2. You can find out more about him by visiting his website, and that is paulselig.com. Paul, at times you said earlier that you're sometimes skeptical of the information that comes through, of the gifts that you have. So when you're bringing in this information, who exactly are you channeling? Who are your guides?
Well, it's a collective. They use a we. I call them the guides only because when my ex found out that I could do this, used to say, ask the guides this, ask the guides that. So they became known as the guides. The name that they've used when they say, if you want to call us something, you may call us this, is the name Melchizedek. But I consider them teachers. You know, they say they're operating at the level of Christ consciousness, a level of vibration and truth. And that's how I know them. You know, my visual experiences with them have been scant. I'm primarily clairaudient and clairaudient and clairsentient. I feel and I hear, and my clairvoyance shows up primarily when I'm working with individuals. But when I have seen them, or some of them, it's been quite phenomenal, and they do sort of appear as I understand them or experience them, you know, through the language that they use. My skepticism isn't really skepticism about the material that comes through. It's always been, who the hell am I to be doing this? You know, this wasn't planned. This isn't who I thought I was going to end up being. And now that it's become my life, and not this thing that I was doing rather quietly for many, many years, you know, for a small group of people, I'm having to acclimate to that and to what comes when you make yourself visible. You know, I'm actually a kind of reserved person. And now there's all this video of me, you know, channeling on the internet. And I'm not the most graceful channel. I whisper the words as they come and repeat them. And it's, you know, it's just what it is. The newest book that's come through as I've been reading it, I think, is the clearest transmission of all. I think that there were two words that were altered or misspoken in the entire text. And one was confabulation, which I didn't even know what it meant. So the word comes out confabula, and then I said conflagration. And the transcriptionist heard confabulation, and she was correct. It's the right word for the sentence. But I didn't understand the meaning of it.
Enlightenment.
You know, and that's it. Yeah, that's just how it all happens, you know. That's how it goes, you know. It's best I can describe it.
Well, Paul, you do so much. You channel information for people. You work with people in private sessions. You are on the media all over the place. I mean, Nightline, you've been written up on in New York in many publications, and also nationwide. What is the most challenging of what you do?
Most challenging part of what I do, I think the most challenging part that I do is accepting what I do, and it's pretty much just as I said. I mean, I feel some days as if I woke up having a very different life, and I'm still scratching my head over how it all happened. I enjoy working with the groups. I was a classroom teacher for 25 years, and I loved every minute of it. So when I get to show up for an extended event, I was just channeling for a week at Esalen with a group of students that, you know, were really quite wonderful. Mm-hmm. I get to enjoy some of that communal experience, but I actually find my experience of being a channel as somewhat isolating in a way that my other life wasn't. You know, it really is nomadic in a funny way. I show up here and I show up before a group of people. I say this little prayer of protection that I like to work with. Then I recede, and this other consciousness comes through and teaches, you know, through me for however long they intend to, and get everybody attuned to the energies and work with them. So I'm present in community, but not in the same way that I used to be. So that's something that I'm just really coming to terms with now, that the requirements of this life, at least at this moment, are thus. It's just what it is. And now that they're finishing the third book of the trilogy, of the newest trilogy, I'm wondering what's next. It's interesting, when I look back on this, you know, in 2009 they delivered the first book, I Am the Word, and between 2010 and 2017, five more books have come into print, and a new book has been channeled, which will be out in 2018. I mean, it's been so fast, and, you know, barely time to catch my breath. I'm grateful for all of this. Don't get me wrong. I'm just still reeling from it.
Well, it's interesting, because the good old saying, when the student's ready, the teacher appears. So even though you weren't brought up in a spiritual household, so to speak, you know, you found your path. At least in my opinion, you found your path.
Yeah,
and that's truly to help other people. I mean, yes, you channel the information, but you bring it through to allow other people to find themselves. And I think that's the best gift that you can give to anyone in the world.
I think that's really important. I mean, I don't consider myself a spiritual teacher, and I don't want to be a guru. I have no desire. I don't want those projections. When people throw that stuff at me now, the good ones and the bad ones, I just want to reject it entirely. The whole purpose of this teaching is for people to access their own true self, the God within, and the realization of that, which is the work of these guides, is to support us in knowing and experiencing who we are and who everybody else is in a very different way than perhaps we have thus far. So it's fascinating stuff, I have to say that. And it takes a little while for me to catch up sometimes to the magnitude of the teaching. What I used to think was a theoretical teaching when they began these books, like they said early in the very first book, they used the term Christ sometimes, and their definition of Christ is the aspect of the Creator that can be realized in material form. And in the first book, they said, you know, the Christ in man is an event that happens. And I thought, okay, well, that sounds nice. I guess that means that, you know, we see people as being more spiritual. And what they're really working towards with us is a teaching of manifestation, of the realization of divinity in form. And it's radical stuff. And it's actually very old stuff. You know, my assistant who travels with me to events, somebody gave him a copy of the Hermetics or something, and he was reading it on a plane, and I looked over his shoulder. I've never read the Hermetics, and I was like, wow, this is like what the guys are teaching. And the guys have said, you know, this work is old. It's older than the religions that you have. Actually, it's the basis for many of them. And it's a reclamation of divinity that in some ways we've been withheld from through our own attachment to fear and, you know, the small self's desire to replicate itself through history or the known. They're inviting us now to claim the unknown, which they say is present and available.
Yeah, well, you know, I find it interesting with your background of not being raised in a religious household, and you found spirituality, i.e. separate spirituality from our religion. And it seems like the fear that we are experiencing as a whole basically came in once organized religion took over. What are your thoughts on that?
I've never thought about that, truthfully. I think that and for all I know, you know, I mean, if we want to go before the Judeo-Christian ethic into, you know, paganism and tribalism and what was worshipped there, I don't know, you know. I think that what organized religion has managed to do, unfortunately, in many ways, is distort eternal truths. You know, my guides say you can't be the light and hold another in darkness. It just can't be so. And, you know, many of the religions we live with now seem to be rather busy damning other people. You know, and I don't see how that could be true. And, you know, the idea that one human being could be higher than another, my guides say, is ludicrous. It's just impossible. It doesn't work that way. We can be at different levels of realization, but really we're all where we need to be to learn what we came here to learn. So I think that, you know, there's great beauty in all religions, and my hunch is great truth at the essence of all of them as well, and probably a comparable truth if we were really to distill it. There are mystical traditions, as far as I know, in each religion, and what I've been told by people that know more than I do, who read these books that come through me, is what they're teaching, a kind of Christian mysticism almost that goes back to the Gnostics. Although I've also heard the Hermetics, you know, it's all this stuff. So I don't know. I think that we play in fear. I think that we've gone into agreement with so much fear in our world that we just expect it to be there. And that's part of the problem we now face.
Mm-hmm. So then why do we fear to change so much? I mean, if we realize that there's fear, and sometimes we're grappled within fear, why are we so afraid to take that step outside of that paradigm?
Well, what I hear from the guides about this, and I'm just going to try to rephrase them, is that the small self, which is the personality structure, which is not who we truly are, has a great investment in replicating the known. It knows itself through history. The small self, in a lot of ways, is a product, or back to that word, confabulation of history, memory, you know, what happened to us when we were young, what our parents said we were, what our culture said we were, what we could expect, could not expect, given the times that we were brought up in, all of those mores and dictates, you know, we've attached to all of those things. They say that the true self exists beyond it, but the small self knows itself through how it's perceived and seeks to be perceived through these known constructs. So to try to make it simple, when we start letting go of who we think we are and who we think we're supposed to be, we get to claim who we truly are, but that's not going to necessarily be all that comfortable to the personality who has a great investment in perceiving himself or herself as a victim or better than everybody else or the only one who gets to know or thinks that money is going to make everything better. I mean, all of these things that the small self has accrued and agreed to really will essentially, I think, come up and be looked at in a new way as part of this process of moving beyond the known.
Mm-hmm. So you talked about the small self. How do we grow from the small self into or to even discover our divine self?
Well, the guides, I mean, that's the purpose of all of the books, I think, is to take us through this journey. The guides work with these things they call claims of truth. And they say when something is true, it's always true. And they say a claim of truth is always true. And one of the claims of truth that they work with is the claim, I know who I am in truth. I know what I am in truth. I know how I serve in truth. I am free, I am free, I am free. Now, they say that the true self, or that's the God within, or the I am presence in some esoteric traditions, the true self always knows who he is.
Uh-huh.
And always, which is the God within knows itself in truth. And the God within knows what it is, which is its common form to be realized as you or me or any of us. Manifestation. So I know who I am, identity. I know what I am, the manifestation of it. And they say how we serve, how we all serve, is how we're most fully expressed as the true self. And that's the divine in action is who and what we are. And they say if you work with that claim, they say it's always true. I think it's a little bit different than an affirmation, which sometimes we're affirming what could be in potential.
Mm-hmm.
When you work at the level of the divine self, they say you're claiming what is in truth. And then the small self or the energetic field that we work with has to acclimate to this. So imagine that you're realizing what already is true through the claim of that. So that's one of the ways, is the working with the claims of truth. I think other ways that are really simple would be to understand the concept that God sees God in everything, and that if you're an aspect of God, it's got to be everything, not just the stuff that you like and that's pretty and that feels good. But, you know, it's an old teaching, you know, and I think it's in the 12 steps somewhere, too. God is everything or God is nothing. What's our choice to be? And I think we live in a world where we enjoy, you know, burning people at the stake and sort of the town square of the internet and judging other people and condemning this and that and building walls to keep people out and wanting to see people bombed. It's ludicrous to me.
Yeah, well,
but that's a choice. It's not operating in truth. We can move beyond that.
Okay, well, you went right where I was going to go next because, you know, in the intro information that I have, you talk about, you know, how our guides can teach, you know, about how friends and loved ones and even enemies affect us. So we've got this very interesting personality that lives at 1600 Pennsylvania. Did your guys have any information on what it is we're to learn from this energy?
You know, I don't channel, I mean, I tend not to channel political events and political characters. The guides actually don't work with personality. I mean, they're not investing in that.
Okay.
The larger lessons, I think, you know, I think there's a bunch of them, truthfully, but I think we created this personally. That's what I get. You know, we created this situation. The guides say, you know, that truth is here, and in truth a lie will not be held. And much, I think, of what we're getting to see now are the lies that have been inherent always. mm-hmm. and they're just blazing right now. And we're finally having to wake up to a political structure that has probably not been working, inequality in our culture that has not been working. And I think, you know, what the guards have said is, you know, you've all thought you were comfortably asleep, and what's happening is you're waking up to find out that there are rocks in the bed. You know, it's not what you thought. The world that you live in is not what you thought it was. Mm-hmm. So when I go to Trump, I mean, well, the one thing that they have said is he's operating in fear. And, you know, he's colluding with that energy, you know, and everybody's agreeing with the fear, and then there's more fear. And the guides say this again and again and again and again. The action of fear is to claim more fear. And they say, look at every choice you've ever made because you were frightened and see what it got you. And more than likely, it'll be more of the same. I'll ask right now if there's anything that they want to say about Trump. Well, oddly enough, they're saying only that he has the right to be. They're saying each human being has the right to be with him, whether or not you agree with him. They're saying the divine is inherent in all manifestation, like it or not, or agree to it or not. They're saying the man you know is Trump will evolve beyond what he's claimed, will evolve beyond what he has claimed in many ways, but in many ways he's becoming. He is becoming a figurehead for what needs to transform in this way. Mm-hmm. And in this way, he may, and they're underlining the word may, serve a higher purpose, but this is still seen. But this is still to be seen when one takes action in fear. When one takes actions in fear and colludes with the energies of fear they create from that, and that is a low vibration. They're saying, and that is a low vibration. Truth is always present. They're saying, in truth, a lie will not be held. And this becomes an opportunity. And this becomes an opportunity to claim truth, to claim truth, to know truth, to know truth when you would be fed. They're saying fed a lie, period. So that's from them.
Wow.
It's actually the most I've heard it once on the subject, but mm-hmm. it's not normally where they go.
Well, thank you and the guides for the information. It's greatly appreciated. Folks, we're speaking with Paul Selig. He is the author of the latest book, The Book of Truth, The Mastery Trilogy, Book 2. It's a channel text. It is grounding. You will get the informational download, and it will assimilate into your energy field and into your life the way that, you know, you're ready to take it. It's an excellent book. Please go get it and look at the other four that are out there, because, in my opinion, the work kind of builds upon one of the other. I haven't read all books. I have a Selig shelf going on in my library right now, and after this radio show, this book will definitely be added to that shelf. Now, Paul, your guides speak a lot about service. What do they mean by mm-hmm. this? How can we be of service?
Well, they're saying by expressing as the true self. So they say the true self knows and the small self thinks. And a lot of what we think is service is what we've been told service should look like. Now, they say, you know, how you're most fully expressed and in action or realized as the true self is how you serve. Finally, it's a level of being. You're operating as the true self. You're vibrating at that level. That in and of itself is service, but how you're called to act at that level will be done through the true self, not the small self who seeks to figure it out. You know, I'll give you an example. A friend of mine, I read for a mutual friend of mine about another friend of mine at her request, and the friend that I was reading for is a very tall, broad-shouldered, strong man, mm-hmm. and the image was of him walking down a road at night, sort of staring up at the stars, you know, or God or whatever, going, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? And as he was walking, they showed a tree that had fallen in the road, a great big tree, like an oak tree. And because he's like a Paul Bunyan type of guy, he was actually able to bend over and lift the trunk and lift the tree trunk and just toss it out of the road. But he went right back to claiming, what am I here for? What am I here for? What am I here for? He was there to lift the tree out of the road so that others could pass behind him. So we're presented, they say, with the opportunities to serve. I think in our culture, we tend to think that it is a career, you know, that we're... We're supposed to be a Reiki master. We're supposed to go into something that resembles service. There's a woman who asked a question during a live stream that accompanied a lecture for the Book of Mastery, which was the first book in this trilogy. And, you know, she said, you know, I drive a school bus for a living, and I bless the kids every day when they get on the bus, and I word through them. I call the action of the divine through them. But what am I here for? And, you know, they said, well, basically, you're doing it.
Yeah.
You know. And to me, that's high service, you know. That's actually very high service, but we think it's supposed to resemble something other. I think it's how we be in the world. That would be the answer.
Okay. And coming into our own divine true self, acknowledging it for what it is. I think a lot of people think that you have to have very high aspirations, like you have to be, you know, a high-level, high-dollar amount of thinking person. When, you know, the garbage collector, you can get just as much or more divine, true information from if you will talk to them.
Yeah, it's not about the intellect. You know, I think we all come with innate gifts and abilities, and usually, you know, those are the things that we're here to enjoy. It doesn't and serve through. It doesn't necessarily mean that that's how we're making our living. You know, I taught for many years, you know, college freshmen, and that was my service, and I loved every minute of it, you know. But that was it, you know, and it wasn't truly a well-paying job. I had, fortunately, another one that paid pretty well, so I could do it all. But, you know, that's what I did. It didn't look spiritual, but it was. It taught me a great deal about love and caring and supporting other people in ways I had never known. So, you know, but that's only, the same can be true for anybody. You know, I think wherever we're called to be is probably what we have an opportunity to learn through and serve through at the time.
Okay. In your book, you talk about collective memory, and I know earlier we talked about fear. So how does one operate to grow themselves at a personal level when we're a part of this collective memory, and fear can be such a pervasive part of this memory?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I think some of it's about detaching from it and not going into agreement with it. You know, in this book, they're beginning to take us out of our own individual requirements for realization and beginning to speak about how the collective is also creating. And so there is an energy field, they say, you know, in later texts to, you know, a community or a culture or a profession. There are these things that are we ascribe to. So in order for us to move beyond the known, at times we have to move beyond what the collective agreements have been to what we're allowed. I mean, here's a dumb example. You know, when I work with people and say, well, I'm too old to find anybody, I'm too old to get into a relationship, or when somebody says, I'm too old to find a job, or when somebody says, I don't have the education to pursue what I really care about, they're bowing to the collective agreement about what they're allowed. The guides say that we're always ordering off of the menu of what we think we're allowed. And what we think we're allowed is what we've been told we're allowed for the most part. So, you know, if you go to the seafood restaurant, you may not, you know, you may not get, I don't know, get I don't know what, the fondue, you know what I mean? You know, but, you know, but that's the assumption that we make. And what we get to do, actually, is claim the menu that we're actually allowed to have, but we also have to understand that we're allowed to have it. And that can mean moving beyond what sort of the public description is to what can be claimed. I mean, the guides are talking about the realization of the divine in form as who and what everybody is, that that's the truth of who everybody is. It's a radical teaching. You know, it's an old teaching, and it makes perfect sense to me when they deliver it, but that really does mean that I or the reader has to make an agreement to step beyond what we believed can be possible. And, you know, and that is a leap, you know, that, that sort of invites us to take a leap beyond what we've agreed to as a culture.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You have a private practice in the Chelsea area of Manhattan, and you also work with people all over the world via Skype, phone, or just about however they want to do that. How do you tap into their energies? And then tell us about the structure for sessions.
Well, I mean, you know, as I said, they sort of, I've been called a medium for the living. I'm not doing a lot of work with people that have crossed over. They come through, but usually only if there's something very specific to be addressed. If you were to come to me as a client, I would sit down, I would ask you to speak your whole name, and I would tune into you as if you were the radio station that I was playing, and then I would sort of step into your field and become you, and then I can sort of feel what it's like to be you and then understand what's up that needs to be addressed. I'll either get it physically through symbol or gesture or visual or more than likely through clairaudience, which is I'll hear as you. And then if you're having problems with your sister who you haven't talked with in 5 years, and if you give me your sister's name, I can tune into her and I may start to resemble her. Mm-hmm. But I can go back and forth between the two of you to sort of hear what's really going on and what might be needed to move the energy. I do a fair amount of work with relationship stuff. That's why when ABC did that thing on me on Nightline, they called me the love psychic because I was, they just focused on the work that I'm able to do at times with couples and just hearing them at different levels. But, you know, I work, you know, I find that I'm the most effective with what's up and what's stuck and helping people move through to a higher choice with their lives. I don't think that I'm the guy to go to say, you know, am I ever going to meet somebody and, you know, what are my lucky numbers? I may, we'll probably be able to tell you why you're not meeting anybody and what the block is and where it comes from in order to be able to move that. But the predictive work that I do, which I'm told has been very accurate, comes with need. It's not about prescribing an outcome to someone. It's about showing them the potential that exists as they align to it. Mm-hmm. So it's the best way that I can describe it. So, you know, my sessions are my hearing the client at a higher level or at a personality level or and the people that are in their lives that they ask about. I do a lot of that. I read, you know, boards of directors for companies before votes. I mean, it's not spying. It's just sort of feeling where everybody is with their stuff. And, you know, then the guides come in and they teach. And they teach the individual what they may need to help them through what's going on. So that's one way to say it. And I do it by, you know, in my office in New York and on Skype and by phone. And yeah, that's the practice. That's the individual work.
Okay. Now your website, paulselig.com, and that's PAULSELIG.com. What are folks going to find there?
Well, they're going to find out information on my live streams. Those happen on Wednesday nights. The guides are teaching almost every Wednesday, and they'll lecture, and it's an ongoing series. It's broken down into usually four or five parts in a series, but where it's always ongoing. And there's time for people's questions after. They'll see information on the subscription site. They'll see information on workshops. I do workshops all over the country. I'm going to be in Minneapolis this weekend and Sedona the following weekend. And then, you know, shortly I'll be, you know, in Berkeley and at the Esalen Institute. I'm going to be in Berkeley, I think, in early November. Is when I'm in Berkeley. It's a regular stop for me, and I love working there. I work in a very beautiful space, and that's usually a really big and great group. So
yes,
that's all there.
Okay, and what else?
Please do. You know, there's videos of channeling. There's there's downloads of old channelings. You know, there's a lot of everything. There's a ton of interviews. up, including, you know, Nightline and Coast to Coast and things like that. And, you know, and this will be up there too, you know, in some form. And that's what goes on. It's just everything that's happening. So it's an active and alive website, and we add to it very, very frequently. I mean, there's always new events and new channelings available.
Okay, so folks, check that out. That's paulselig.com. S-E-L-I-G is how you spell his last name. And don't forget to buy the other books, okay? Buy this particular book, The Book of Truth, The Mastery Trilogy, Book 2, and the others. This will be an investment that you make in yourself if you're truly looking to do some work on yourself. And, you know, you don't want to do the hard work. Not that the work is easy, but you're like, oh my goodness, I read a book and I can't do this. Read this book, because the information you'll drink in, and it'll sit in your aura until you're ready for it, and then it just comes in bits and pieces. And I found that with all of the 5 books. And it is truly, truly life-changing. Paul, I know that you gave us a channeling earlier, and I greatly appreciate that. Do you have any last words of wisdom for our audience this evening?
Let me see. Only one thing. They're saying only one thing. Love the fact that you exist. They're saying love the fact that you exist, the simple fact that you are. The simple fact that you are. Love the agreement that you made to come here. Love the agreement that you made to come here, regardless of what happens. Regardless of what happens in a lifetime. In a lifetime, the learning that occurs. The learning that occurs is valuable. Is valuable to the progression of the soul. Be thankful. Be thankful for the opportunity and the growth. For the opportunity and the growth of simply being alive. That simply being alive provides you. All of you come with an innate awareness of the true self. Be grateful for this as well. This will lead you to her, to him, and its realization. So what they're saying is who and what you are, period. And I hear period.
Okay, thank you very much. Well, Paul, thank you so much for being with me this evening. I truly appreciate and honor the fact that you took time to be with me. And to the audience, thank you for being with me as we collectively get over it and discover our truth. The divine in me honors the divine in you. And when you're ready for a more balanced life, give me a call. Intuitive consultations, 30 minutes or longer, are offered at a 10% discount if you mention the radio show. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself. Make the call. 888-240-6057. And remember, the most important choice you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of love. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.